The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme on what is Love Donegal Day. Thank you so much to so many of you messaging in with where and what you love about our beautiful county, Donegal. If you're from outside the county, you've visited before, please let us know. We are giving away a lovely Highland Radio tea and a 9 till noon show mug, and we're going to be crossing over to beautiful Dunlow shortly. But first, let's get to some of the... I'll read out what you can do and how you can win. To celebrate Love Donegal Day, we took to our social media, Highland Radio on Facebook and Highland Radio Donegal on Instagram, to ask you what is your favourite Donegal location, memory or moment in history. And today we celebrate it all. So winners will be announced on the 9 till noon show. As we mentioned, we've got a Highland Radio tea and a mug. And we also want you to text in as well. But on our socials, Maria says, I love Donegal Day. What can I say about my home county? It's a beautiful place to live. It's so beautiful, no matter the weather. People are so friendly, so many places to see and so much to photograph. Patricia says, has to be the first stop for Sam Maguire coming to Glenswilly National School 1992. Great day. Great memories. Love Donegal. A caller says, I love Donegal for its people, its landscape, the Irish language, music and culture. Donegal people are proud of our sporting achievements and are supportive of our local radio stations. We also have a great sense of fairness and will stand with each other to fight our corner when that is needed. And on they come. Keep them coming in. Another caller says, has to be our beautiful island, Aran Mór. People are friendly, the scenery is breathtaking and the beaches are safe and a great ferry service. Everyone is made welcome, and I can attest to that. Okay, we're going to be crossing to Kevin Fury very shortly as part of Love Donegal Day. Now, as we celebrate hashtag Love Donegal Day, we are out and about today at some prime locations across our beautiful county, and one which is a jewel in the crown, no doubt, is the Dunlow River Walk. And we cross over now to our own Kevin Fury, who is there. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Are you on the left or right as I see you? Because there's two of you on camera there. I think you're on the right.
I'm on the right, yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, come here. You look like you're in a different world with the weather over there. Not just a different part of the county. It looks like the middle of summer.
Yeah, it's absolutely glorious. Well, when I woke up this morning, it was absolutely lashing the rain. So it was, and I thought we're going to be absolutely soaked today. But the sun has come out. I actually wish I brought my sunglasses with me today, because we were trying to take a couple of photographs earlier and just my eyes was closed most of the time just with the sun. But yeah, it's an absolutely glorious day over here. I was just saying to Anya earlier when I was... traveling down this morning, just as I was coming over where the Maws Inn used to be, just the scenery there this morning as the sun was shining was absolutely glorious. It's just, it really just shows you when the weather is good how much of a great county we actually have. But we all love Donegal. We don't even need the weather to say it's a great county.
All right, so where are you? Tell us a little bit more about Dunlow River Walk.
So basically, if you look here, we've met this here fella earlier on. This is Store the Troll, okay? He's originally from Norway. He was looking for a mythical island, and he managed to make his way to Dunlow, and he was transported here, as you can imagine. You wouldn't fit that man into a van anyway, but he was transported here in a lorry. He's ended up here in Dunlow. But there's not just him. There's lots of other wee bits and pieces. There's ferry houses. There's also as well a dummy tree. And if you pop over to our social media later on, we'll be showing you some videos there and you'll see a lot more about that.
So it's parents take their toddlers or whatever age they are, and they can magically get rid of their soother. And it's very, very popular in that regard, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just saying, Tony, in about 2 years' time, I'll be visiting that there tree myself, so I'll know where to call them.
All right, so come here. Yeah. Are you on a tripod there?
I am.
Oh, well, why don't you walk around a bit, like do an OB?
Well, we're going to walk around here. We've got too many wires here, but what we're going to do is we're going to do a video. So we are. So we'll go over to our social medias, and you'll see what we're going to do a little bit later on. But as I said earlier, there's lovely little houses here. There's lovely signs as well telling you like what bits and pieces are about, you know. And it's just great to get out and about today. And I said, we've been blessed with the weather. And of course, we want to thank our partners, Donegal County Council, because we wouldn't be here today, of course, without their help today, too.
So, I see. Obviously, I'm wearing Donegal County Council's Donegal Ireland's DNA. It's in my DNA. I've got my Donegal County Council O'Neill's shirt on here. I've got two of them, in fact. I note you're not wearing one. Why is that?
No, I don't have one, but I do have my Highland Radio branded.
Yeah, but why don't you have one of these
that
I have? I've got two.
I know. Well, if anyone from the council is out there listening, they can send one.
Does Sean Quinn have one?
I don't know.
He doesn't.
Anya doesn't have one either, but if you send them to us, we'll definitely wear them as proud Donegal people.
And people might make the mistake of visiting Dunloe and not going on that river walk. A lot of money's been spent on it as well. And anyone who I've ever met from that area says you have to do the river walk in Dunloe. It's really turned into one of the most popular attractions around what it already is a beautiful part of the world. And you're only, 5-10 minutes away from Burton Port. Hop on the ferry, go over to another part of the world that people are saying is beautiful, Aaron Moore. There's an awful lot to do in the west of the county, Kevin.
Yeah, awful lot. Obviously, like yourself, I'm from south of the county, and you have a tendency to kind of maybe go to Letterkenny or maybe go as far as Glantyers or something like that there. And you would never, like as I say, when we're travelling on a nest adventure, the first thing I have to do to get into the car is pop it into the sat-nav because I don't know where I'm going. I really don't know the geography of the county really, really well. But it really is beautiful down here today. And this is actually my first time. I'll be honest, I didn't actually even know this place existed. Mm-hmm. We've only kind of come in here. We just came in and met our friend here, Store the Troll. So I'm really looking forward to going down. There's a little wee slipways and different bits and pieces as well. So we're looking forward to seeing more of those. And you can see all of them too, as I said to you earlier, on our social media. Check out our Facebook, Instagram, and also TikTok too. So you won't miss a minute of the action.
Yeah, and indeed. And that walk and Store the Troll that you talk of, it's part of a story that you can take yourself on or take your children on to and meander your way through it. As I say, even now it looks beautiful. And look, there's no such thing as bad weather either as we head into autumn winter. It's just not having the right clothes. So you will be a return visitor, no doubt.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And as I said to you earlier, if you've never been here before and you just see this, the troll here, and you think you haven't a clue what it's about, there's lovely wee signs, which is a great idea, which tells you all about it, tells you all about the history and everything. So everything you see here, you know, you'll not think, oh, what's that? You'll know exactly what everything is. It's really, really brilliant. Everything's well signposted and really, really informative.
All right. And is there any seats there at Store the Troll? Can you sit down?
Well, you can, yeah. You can sit here on his thumb, actually. His thumb's
sit
here.
Will your cable reach as far as his thumb?
It won't, unfortunately.
Could you not have done this so that you could walk around? I'd love to see you walk down the path, Kevin.
Well, we were going to. That was the plan, but unfortunately,
you'd be like Annika Rice on that TV show, just running around Dunloe.
We could do it, but I'd have to take off these headphones, and it wouldn't be fit to hear.
Take it off.
We do it.
Come on, yeah.
Okay, just give us one sec.
Right, and come here. I'll just cut you off and say goodbye. That's fine. So just give us a walk around. Come on, let's go. Oh yes. This is live radio. Look at this. This is outside broadcasting.
This here is the sign here, Store the Troll. So it tells you everything about it. It even has it for you in Irish as well, too. So if you're a fluent Irish speaker, you'll know.
Look at that bridge. That looks beautiful. Look at that bridge. Lovely.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. And you can see
that's lovely.
And everything here as well. The leaves look really, really nice on it, too. And you can also see, there's also little things here on the trees. You can see here, Spring Fairy.
Yes.
So you've got loads of these here little, and also people that have been here before too have put their names. I think I've seen Amber and I've seen Evening. So there's lots of different names.
You're just looking for names now. You're looking for suggestions of names now that you're walking around going, what am I going to call the new baby?
So if we scroll, this is the famous dummy tree.
Oh, right,
so
cool.
I don't know, maybe do you need to visit here?
No.
Maybe not.
No.
I need to visit here another wee while.
Yeah.
So it says it here in this little sign here as well. So it says the dummy tree, boys and girls, do not fear. It's not an ogre that lives here, but a little dummy fairy.
Wow. So mums and dads go down there and they take the dummy, the soother or whatever they call it, hanging up on the tree. And that's it then. They don't need it any longer.
And I'm actually just realizing there's actually some names wrote in these here too. There's Owen. I'm trying to see, is there a date? Oh, I have to knock one off.
Yeah, you better put that one back on.
I know. I better.
Not now.
I may come back looking for it.
You can do it afterwards.
So if you scroll, come on down here as well too. You can see these are the little houses here that it was on. But there's lots of different shapes and lots of different sizes and colours of different houses. So it looks really, really well. And
Go on down that other bridge. That other bridge. Let's have a look down there. What's down there?
We've got a bit of a crossroads here.
I love that stuff.
Here.
Fantastic.
We've another bridge over this here direction, as you can see to my right. And I know I haven't been down here, right? We haven't come this far yet because we says we'll do a video down here later. But you can also see we've got more houses in here. We've also got another hidden one in there. You can just about see the red roof on that one. And there's more houses as
well. Right, okay. Brilliant, Kevin. Listen, thank you. Thanks to Anya for being good sports because we got a really good sense of what it's like. And yous are going to hang around there, make a couple of vids, of course, for our social media. And then do you continue your travels then, Kevin?
We do. We're going to be heading further north a little bit later on. So we are. We're going to be connecting with John Breslin a little bit later on. We're going to be heading to a lighthouse. I'm not going to tell you where, but we're going to be
Lighthouse. Are you afraid of bumping into people? You're going to Fannad Lighthouse.
Secret's out of the bag now. We're going to give teasers on our social media.
No, there's other lighthouses as well, of course. You could be going to St. John's Point.
Well, it could be, yeah. And a little bit later on, may as well tell you, but during the Jive Time show, we'll be live at Fort Dunry, so we're going to be going really
cracker. A load of money being spent up there to really enhance that. So you are literally going to be as far out as Fannad Lighthouse a little later on, and it just means if people are in the area, they can come up and say hello and may even want to say hello to you while you're on with John. Brilliant stuff.
That's it. And even just to tell us just why they love Donegal or what's their favourite thing about Donegal, or even just tell us where they're from and why we should visit their area, because of course that's what it's all about today, is supporting Donegal and showing our love and appreciation for Donegal, and of course using the hashtags Love Donegal and Dunanal Abu as well.
Brilliant. And what a brilliant place the Donegal River Walk is. Kids that can sort of run and run through it, it looks beautiful, but even if you're pushing them in a pram if they're that age, it's just wonderful. So well done to all involved in developing that fantastic facility. Anya on camera and Kevin as well. Thank you both very much. We look forward to hearing and seeing yous for those that want to log on our socials a little later on. Thanks, guys. Take care.
No bother. I must go put this dummy back in the tree now.
Please do. I recognise it. Bye. Okay, that's Kevin and Anya there out and about. And as I say, they're heading north to a secret lighthouse a little later on. Some more of the places that you love about Donegal. This is hashtag Love Donegal Day, where if you are on social media, you can share your images, your memories, your videos across all of the social media platforms. Just use the hashtag Love Donegal, and we do this like nobody else in this part of the world, and you can have us trending right across the world. And we've been inviting you to send in your recommendations to us. Here a caller says, "You can't beat Loch Salt. So breathtaking. It stirred me to write a book about the area." That comes in from Jim. It is a remarkable place, Jim, and it's got a remarkable history as well. It is, by some accounts, the deepest lake in Ireland. But also there's fantastic stories as to the construction of it and the road through it and to it. If you are on YouTube, you can search Chrysler Highland Radio or Talking History Highland Radio. I had Dr. Joe Kelly on and we talked about the history of Chrysler, and it's obviously next door and intertwined with Loch Salt as well. So we talk a little bit about the history of that. And look at it, it's the type of place that may be worthy of its own podcast. There are so many fabulous places to visit and see in Donegal, says this listener. It's impossible to pick just one favourite. Donegal really is a piece of heaven. Everything from the scenery to the fantastic friendly people is an asset, and so proud to be from Donegal. Another, I love Donegal, all of its scenery, no matter where you go. Was in Harvey's Point for an afternoon tea, had a walk around the area. What a lovely spot, no matter what the weather. That comes in from Sadie. Indeed, Sadie, it's lovely, isn't it? Greg, we had a family wedding last week and a lot of Swedish visitors came here before. They love Donegal. They brag about the views, the beaches, the friendly people, and they were blessed with the great weather. None wanted to go home. That comes in from Mary. Mary, hope you had a lovely day all round then. I love my hometown of Buncrana. The people are kind and very generous, especially love Ned's Point on the sea nearby. I've swam and dived there since my youth. Also, I love Porthole Beach further on. The best place to sunbathe on a sunny day, better than Spain. Lovely water to swim in also. Small, beautiful beach. That comes in from Liam. Another best thing about Donegal, lots of stunning beaches, people, scenery. Couldn't single one thing out. And that's a theme that's coming in. People are struggling to say, right, you know, that's my favourite. All right, maybe it's a song as well. Do you have a favourite Donegal song we can play as well? What is the song that you attribute to Donegal that you say, right, that's Donegal. Get them into us as well. 086 60 25000. Send in your suggestions as what you love about Donegal or what song you associate most with Donegal. All of you that contact us go into a hat and we'll draw out a couple of you and you will win a lovely Highland Radio tea with collars and also a 9 till noon show mug. And all the while, whilst we also have to talk about what we need to improve here, we also have to celebrate what we have here. And we have some amazing things. Now, Garda Commissioner Drew Harris has described as a kick in the teeth and a heavy blow the vote by rank and file Gardaí to express no confidence in him by a majority of, bar the shout, 99%. But he's insisting he will not resign. He's got the backing of the government, the policing authority, the justice minister. And the only people he seemingly at this point doesn't have the backing of, officially, because the votes have been counted, is the Garda Representative Association, which represents rank and file Gardaí out and about on the beat. Brendan, Garda Brendan O'Connor is president of the GRA and joins us now. Brendan, thank you very much indeed.
Good morning, Greg.
I mean, this is a very strong vote of no confidence in the commissioner, 99%.
Yes, quite overwhelming and quite almost unanimous, and something that they even surprised ourselves. I mean, the feedback we had from our members was that there was a lot of interest in it and that they felt very strongly, obviously, the very fact that we were taking this vote. But an overwhelming response and a very clear and very defined message there from women and men that provide the police and service in the Republic of Ireland of exactly how they feel about the leadership of the organisation and the direction in which it's going.
It does show, though, a difference of opinion. As I mentioned, the policing authority, the justice minister, the government, they all are giving him his full backing. Where does that leave us?
I suppose it leaves us in a position where we just have to try and find a way forward. But obviously, the establishment is very much backing the commissioner, which is understandable. But I think, and the institutions of state, if they choose to. The reason we're at this very difficult situation is because the members that I represent have been ignored and their representatives have been ignored. So if we continue on this road of denying the reality and putting our heads in the sand and pretending that there isn't serious issues in relation to the organisation delivery of policing, well, it doesn't bode well for the citizens who rely on policing and the service we provided.
What would you like to see from this? I mean, is it the GRA's view that now the commissioner's position is untenable and he should actually consider his position? Is that what you want?
Well, we haven't come to that conclusion yet. We have a special delegate conference in 2 weeks' time where our members from across the country will meet, and I've no doubt that will be a topic for discussion. So at this time, we're just trying to digest the result. Sit back and see what is the response. Our members have spoken very clearly and very loudly, so Official Ireland and the government have to come back and see what is their response. But all the indicators are that perhaps they're going to dismiss the voice of our members, so we just have to meet and strategise and see where we're going to take it from here.
But obviously you want him out. I mean, if you polled your members, they voted overwhelmingly that they've got no confidence in him. The logical progression from that is that you want him out.
Well, that would be a logical progression, but as I say, we're not at that position yet. So what we need to see if the situation is to be remedied is, I mean, Commissioner and the Minister have to try and earn back that confidence. Whether that can be done or not is not for me to surmise, but certainly there has to be a change of mindset and approach. And the GRA are very much a problem-solving organisation. We'll sit down and discuss things. We will try to resolve them and try to come to some sort of resolution to the situation. But closing doors in our face and making statements like that to say that our members didn't understand what they were being asked is not helpful, and it's very, very condescending and dismissive. And
but what were they asked then? Because to be honest with you, maybe I would have thought what they were being asked is, do you want Drew Harris out of his job? And now you're saying, well, that's not what this vote was about. We still have to decide that. So what were the members actually voting on then, just in the interests of fairness to the commissioner?
Just whether they have confidence in his leadership of the organisation and where the Garda Síochána is going and how he manages the force. So as the figurehead of there's only one person, I suppose it would be accused of personalizing it. And what we say is we can't but personalize it. It's not about his personality or his character, but it's about the organization and him as CEO of. He's the CEO of Angara Síochána. Our members are very dissatisfied, very disillusioned with how the organization is being run, the direction which it's going. These are people who have dedicated their life and their careers to policing, and they feel that they're not being listened to, and we see changes, and we see the job that we love and being dismantled and changed and not for the better. So,
is it
really
possible that
about.
This could backfire on the GRA? Because they're, whilst they're greater in numbers, they are the outlier, as I said. Justice Minister fully behind, effectively giving him a vote of confidence. The government the same. The policing authority, which recruits senior guard officers. The AGSI have not taken any such votes. This leaves kind of the rank and file out on their own.
I don't think so. I think from the GRA's point of view, perspective is one of the accusations that has been thrown at us in the past is that the GRA are not reflective of our membership, that the statements we make in relation to problems are not accurate. And what this is an absolutely resounding endorsement of what we have said. Our members are completely unified. There's no ambiguity. There's no split. They are very much focused and very much aligned with each other. And they're very much back in the strategy of the GRA in calling this vote. So certainly, while we might be, we could be described as outliers within the overall policing picture, we have a very strong mandate going forward and we have a very unified voice. So I think it's actually a positive for the GRA.
All right, OK. Everyone now wants everyone to get back around the table for new talks or for talks on new Garda rosters. I presume the GRA won't be found wanting in that regard. Do you believe a resolution can be found? Because let's face it, there's the way people are leaving the force at this point, something's going to have to be done, whether it's the GRA that drives it or the Commissioner or the Justice Minister. Something's going to have to be done.
Yeah, it's very simple, and you break it down. As you say, people are leaving in their droves. Our members are telling us that they're quite happy working the current roster pattern. There's a lot of younger guards who have never worked anything other than the current roster. When they go back to the system that maybe the more senior guards are used to, they'll find that it's not conducive to a good work-life balance. So we have, as you say, dropping numbers. So at a time when we have a workforce who are under pressure, who are depleted, who have been asked to do more, who is acknowledged are working in very difficult circumstances, are being assaulted in unprecedented levels, and our management and the government decides, well, you know what we'll do? We'll put you on a shift pattern that you despise and force it down your throat, and we'll tell you that your voice doesn't matter. It doesn't bode well. So, you know, the offering yesterday that, you know, that the organisation is interested in the welfare of its members, not the focus. The reality and the experience of our members is quite the opposite, and I suppose the reaction from the policing authority and the government and the senior leadership team would indicate that yet again people are choosing to ignore the voice of frontline members and say that their opinion doesn't count and that they're wrong, and it's certainly not conducive to finding an agreement. But we have a ready to go proposal. We have established rosters that have delivered service in some of the most effective units in Angara Síochána. And I suppose I don't know why, but it's not being given, we believe, due consideration. It's cost-neutral. It would bring harmony and perhaps diffuse some of the tension in this situation. It doesn't address all the issues, but the rosters one was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. So solving that would be a huge step forward and a huge gesture towards the members who are disillusioned and disaffected and have spoken in such high numbers.
Now, obviously, Gardaí can't strike in an organised way. You've pulled out the big one now. I suppose the vote of no confidence perhaps was the strongest tool in the armoury. So what next? If the talks don't progress as the GRA and its members want, what options are open to you now if you've exhausted all your options?
Well, that's what our conference will decide, and we will look at that and see what the mandate is from our members. As you said, we were precluded from taking industrial action. But, you know, we've spoken many times, Greg, about the lack of resources and the general underfunding of Angara Síochána and the lack of training. So basically, the policing service in this country is entirely reliant on the goodwill and the flexibility of our members. And when we see that goodwill and this flexibility thrown in our face, our members will probably take a different attitude going forward into such matters. So But how exactly that will manifest itself is something that we will only know in time.
Okay, it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting conference. Thanks very much, Brendan. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Brendan O'Connor, who's the president of the Garda Representative Association, speaking after that, 99% of rank and file Garda stating that they do not have confidence in the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris. Everybody else seemingly, i.e. the policing board, the government, the defence minister, not the defence minister, what's that? Tightly, I'm struggling with that one today. Justice Minister Helen McEntee, they all do seem to have it. So in a way, they've kind of forced a lot of the big guns to sort of come out and back him. A caller says, just on a relation in relation to that, we as a council unanimously passed a motion against Drew Harris's appointment at the time. That comes in from Councillor Micheál McGillan-Aspig. When a manager loses the dressing room, he has to go. Drew Harris has lost the dressing room, says a listener. Another, will everyone take the blue flu again? Well, I think they're going to wait to see how the conference goes. Any word on what caused the pollution on the Finn tributary? Too often, polluters get away with a small fine, which makes no impact on them, whereas the impact on the river can be very big and take years to recover. Full coverage of that on our website, highlandradio.com. Minister McConnellogue has finished big time in Donegal, believes a listener. A lot of people said that the last time, and he did very well in the elections, so I certainly wouldn't be writing anyone off. Another caller says, you see these young ones puffing on these vapes on the street corners and other enclosed spaces. Why has the government not addressed these vapes and the proper use of them? More non-smokers will be feeling sick and nauseated. We shouldn't have to breathe unnecessary fumes. Well, those disposable vapes and the sale of them to under-18s have been promised for a long time now. They are making some inroads on it, but as it stands, they're still not illegal. On your question about RTE, I asked at the start of the show, like, what would it take from RTE for you to consider if you've stopped repaying your TV licence, even if you say, I'll never pay it again, but look, at it may be revenue that's collecting it in the not-too-distant future. So I was asked, what would it take? You know, is laying off low-paid staff the solution? I don't think it is. But anyway, this listener answered and says, I'll never pay my TV licence again until the ludicrous wages are addressed. Joe Duffy on €300,000 plus. How can anyone justify that? Yeah, indeed. And it's kind of it's a funny old situation because you have people on incredibly high wages and some might say, get the listeners off the back of those that are struggling the most, that have the least. Another message on vapes. Greg, please, can the government be clearer in the use of e-cigarettes, vapes indoors and in enclosed spaces? The amount of fumes that's given out of these is just not fair on non-smokers. Environment health should be in place to smell these smells within bingo halls, etc. Can these people not wait till half time to have their fix? These smells and fumes are causing headaches and sore throats. Is there anybody else out there who feels the same? And how is our young school-going children getting these vapes? They're going into the shop and buying them. They're not illegal at this point. The government have dragged their feet in regulating that area. I'm not sure what the rules are in terms of vaping inside. You will see different levels of enforcement in different areas. But I'm not sure if that's one listener that is very, you know, wants this addressed and has texted a number of times, or many of you out there who want to see tighter regulations. Greg, a dog came into our garden and bit our young child's face. Guardy and the dog warden both say they can't force the dog to be put down. Is there any way we can enforce this? Wow, that's scary. Was it a neighbour's dog? The dog came in, bit the child's face. This sounds like there's more to that story. I mean, who's responsible for the dog? I mean, did the guardy speak to that person? Have they been spoken to? I can't understand how a dog can bite a child's face. And I'm not saying I think it should be put down, but I would have thought that the guardian, the dog warden, would have some say in whether or not that should have happened. I don't know. Okay. Any more information on that? 086 60 25,000. The Homes of Donegal, fellow me, has suggested as a song most associated with Donegal. We might play out with that today. Not that particular one, dependent on what else people text in, but what song do you most associate with your county or the county that you visit or know? 086 60 25,000. Again, all of you texting in, anything to do with hashtag Love Donegal, whether it's your favourite place, your people, your songs, all of you will be thrown into a hat and two people will be drawn and each will win a lovely Highland Radio top and a 9 till noon show mug to cherish. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. So, we had another appearance from senior staff members from RTE in front of an Oireachtas committee yesterday. RTE staff who received a car allowance weren't required to have a driver's licence. That's one of the findings, and there was so much more besides. Senator Pauline O'Reilly, of course, attended yesterday's Oireachtas committee meeting and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Senator. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
What was your takeaway from yesterday?
Well, I think the takeaway from anyone who was observing, which I was that there were some new revelations, but overall a lot of the same as has come before, and that is a lot of spending. Didn't seem to be much restraint from RTE on some of that spending, and I suppose a real lack of transparency because a lot is being drip fed to the public. So that's what I would take away. And obviously there are little nuggets there that that everybody will focus on, such as, you know, 240,000 on soap and things like that. But I guess the real issue here is the reform now that has to happen in order for any more funding to go to RTE, is reform that will have to happen, and that's what Kevin Backhurst has signed up to.
And what do you think the nature of that reform should be? Because I think it's really, really important, and I'm not sure enough emphasis is being put on the public will. The public here are speaking, and they're speaking in their droves all over Ireland from all different backgrounds for their own personal reasons. There's no organised campaign. This is happening organically. They are saying we are no longer going to spend our hard-pressed money on RTE. But I don't really think the measures that are being taken are speaking to the public's concerns so far.
Well, I mean, I suppose there are two independent inquiries, and the Future of Media Commission, which was set up last year, that advised that we really look again at the licensing, because it's not fit for current and future media. We know that media comes in all different forms now, that you might have a television in your corner, but you might not be using it for RTE, for instance. But I think what's really important to remember in all of this is that, you know, a licence fee isn't just for RTE. That licence fee is used for independent broadcasting, you know, for community radio, for
well,
all kinds of things.
In fairness now, currently the licence fee is not used for independent broadcasting. There is there are small revenue funds for a documentary or you know, a show on the environment, but the independent sector are overwhelmingly funded by themselves. Yet they serve their public service. They serve as a public service. But to say that independent media is funded by the license fee, with all due respect, Senator, is a big reach.
Well, I mean, I'm only giving you the facts as I understand them, and that is, and it may not be, it's nowhere near what RTE is funded, but there was an investment into audio, which was, you know, record funding, but at the same time, it's nowhere near what it should be. I mean, I'm not going to argue that. That's why.
Well, 10 or 20 grand or something. You know what I mean? Like for a year long something or other. You know what I mean? And it is for the commissioning of programming. It's not to support a station, because you have to prove that you've spent that money commissioning that program. So again, it just language is so important, Senator, to say that the independent media is supported by the licence fee. I don't think it's accurate. They will contribute to the payment of the creation of a programme on a very, very small scale. But you have to prove that every cent of that was spent in creating that. So we couldn't repackage this show, for an example. You have to hire people. You have to get equipment. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, we'll not split hairs on that. But I just think it's an important clarification. But still,
yeah,
yesterday.
But I think, you know, I do think it's important clarification. But I mean, there is over 20 million that is going into audiovisual and lighting that hadn't been there previously.
But there's
a
man or a woman.
Correct to say,
okay, but
there isn't money going.
Course,
so that's what I just want to. I want to say that.
100%. But there's a man or a woman taking 4 or 5 pictures on the set of First City per year, that would be getting about probably twice what any independent radio station will be getting from the licence fee. But anyway, just in relation to the tone of yesterday, for me, how it felt as a viewer, only as a viewer, the obvious questions that you were going to ask or would be asked, there were still no answers for. Glancing at each other, I don't know. Do they still retain this membership of this exclusive club in London? No one really knows. Has the invoice been paid? I don't know. Do you know? Answers about how people are paid extortionate amounts of money to take a few photos. Well, that's a disgrace. Well, we need to look at that. Everybody knew this was coming. He's had 8 weeks in the job. There's been a full summer since the last Oireachtas. How is it acceptable that these people on their €200,000 and €300,000 per year can come in and play dumb in front of an Oireachtas committee that's there to represent us?
I mean, the clock is ticking because budget will be coming up. And so the understanding is that Kevin Backhurst has to come back with what the reform is before any other public funding will be given. And I mean, I think that that's correct. Obviously he's come into the job and he's uncovering all of the things that we're trying to uncover. And there are two independent reviews on it. But let's remember that the vast majority of people who work for RTE do not get paid anywhere near those top stars. And they are the people that we have to think of and their employment in all of this, because most people just don't get paid those kind of salaries. I don't understand why they were ever given those kinds of salaries. That they have been given those stars, because I mean, where else were they going to go? There was no other job opportunities, and yet they were being paid almost €1 million in some cases. Now that's come back a couple of years, but we also have like a lack of transparency then around the fact that we're only just hearing that people took, some of the top executives took a pay reduction and then put it back on again 2 years later. And again, it's lack of transparency after lack of transparency. So we have to see what Kevin Backhurst comes back with. That is his job. That's what he's paid for. Yeah, but,
But Senator, what I'm hearing so far is no OBs, less investment in programming, less investment in digital, recruitment freeze. All of those things actually affect the audience and actually affect the low-paid staff in RTE. I've heard nothing yet, and again, completely unchallenged, about executives' pay, about these crazy payments that have being made that no one really knows why they're called certain things, that the executive can take pay cuts and return it to themselves whenever they like. All the top people are still completely and utterly insulated, and yet it's us, the viewer, us, the RTE player engager, or the regular staff in RTE that are actually feeling the impact of this. Where is the reform for all of the people that are absolutely creaming it off the taxpayer, $300,000 for an hour and a half show a day? Come on, like when's Backhurst, who seems to really be endearing himself to politicians, when is he actually going to start making big decisions that affect the big earners?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not entirely sure where the evidence for is endearing himself to politicians. I'm just giving you the facts. And the facts are that he has an obligation now, or the funding won't be going to RTE. And we haven't seen that list of reforms. Yes, we all know when we've been drip-fed, and here are the things that they're looking at. But I mean, I would absolutely expect that it would also impact on executives, and that they would have pay reduced as well, because they are being paid too much. I'd also see, and there's various claims about that club membership in Soho. What we heard previously was, oh, well, that's being used for meetings. And then what we're hearing in the committee yesterday is, no, it wasn't ever used for meetings. So again, like, I would see that a list of reforms has to come back to say, no, we are not renewing any kind of club membership of any of these things. And we're absolutely not paying €240,000 for a bar of soap, you know. And okay. I mean, there were accounts there, and the executive, the board of management signed off on accounts without actually knowing where the money was going. So, Kevin Backhurst, I don't know personally, has a job to do, but the book stops with him if it's not done.
Okay, Senator.
And I think that's correct.
Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate you accepting our invites onto the 9 till noon show. Have a lovely day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Take care.